KZX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Lawmakers and residents in the Northeast demanding answers about the drone sightings this past month in the Northeast. Federal authorities say there is no risk to the public. ABC's Louis Martinez has more from the Pentagon.
What they are saying is that when they have analyzed their information from previous weeks, is that the sightings seem to coincide with flight plans for civilian aircraft. Now, are we talking about general aviation, small aircraft? Are we talking about larger aircraft? That remains unclear.
New details in the fatal shooting of United Healthcare CEO. The FBI's New York field office confirmed it passed along a tip by San Francisco authorities identifying Luigi Mangione to the New York Police Department 4 days before his arrest in Pennsylvania. Mangione had been living in San Francisco. His mother reported him missing several weeks before the shooting. Snow, ice, and bitter cold in the mix for millions of Americans from the Midwest to the Northeast this weekend. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. In a breaking story today, Alder Charles Miadze, accused of harassment and domestic abuse, has been arrested. Madison police confirmed they took him into custody on charges of strangulation, false imprisonment, battery, burglary, and burglary causing battery. Police say they took him into custody yesterday afternoon without incident. This comes after Miadze was censured by the Madison Common Council on Tuesday night and removed from his subcommittees. Those were procedural complaints, but now the case has turned criminal. He'd been accused of harassment by multiple women, including a fellow alder, and domestic abuse by multiple women, including Gloria Reyes, former deputy mayor and MPD detective. Today is his first court appearance. Of course, we'll keep following this story as it develops. And more than 500,000 Wisconsinites are unpaid family caregivers. They're the backbone of the state's long-term care system. The two largest categories of people they're caring for are elderly parents and disabled children. AARP Wisconsin says they often go without vital support, even though they provide an estimated 538 million hours of care to loved ones each year. As families gather during the holidays, Martin Hernandez from AARP Wisconsin says now's the time for important discussions.
This is an opportunity to come together with family and friends and have those open and frank conversations that people should be having about caregiving, both in the situation they might be currently, but then also planning for the future.
Caregivers spend an estimated $7,000 a year on related out-of-pocket expenses, paying for the kinds of things they need to care for their loved ones. Hernandez says AARP Wisconsin will ask state legislators to once again consider a tax credit for family caregivers of up to $500 in the next session. A bill in Congress for a larger federal tax credit for caregivers has sat in a U.S. House subcommittee for almost a year. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
Brewers trade Devin Williams. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers have traded closing pitcher Devin Williams to the New York Yankees for two players, left-handed pitcher Nestor Cortes and infielder Caleb During. Devin Williams had been named to the All-Star Game and Relief Pitcher of the Year twice, but suffered a blown save in a 4-2 loss to the Mets in the playoffs. Manager Pat Murphy after the game.
You see blips in every pitcher in baseball. It's not anything that doesn't happen to the best of the best. He is one of the best in the game, and it's not anything that doesn't happen to the best.
NFL Packers packing their bags for Seattle to play the Seahawks Sunday night. Defensive back Jaire Alexander will not play, still dealing with a knee injury. The 49ers' Devondre Campbell under fire after walking off in the third quarter last night in a game against the Rams, saying he didn't want to play. Campbell was a Packers linebacker last year who said he felt like a big brother to linebacker Quay Walker.
Me and Quay are the exact same person. The exact same person.
How so?
Just personality-wise.
That's Devondre Campbell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight with temps steady to slowly rising in the teens and 20s tonight. Snow showers for tomorrow, some sleet, freezing rain, and rain possible at times. Highs climb to the mid-30s. The wintry mix ends tomorrow night. Cloudy Sunday, high near 40. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
Football season is back, and Gabriel the Promoter is ready to help you get the party started. Celebrate in style by booking a $100 round-trip party bus shuttle from Madison to Lambeau Field, complete with all-you-can-drink Miller Lite. Tickets to the game are not included. Don't miss out on the ultimate green and gold experience. Book your spot now. Brought to you by Gabriel Promotes and sponsored by Baldwin Street Grill. Call Gabriel the Promoter today, 414-944-1704. While spots are still available.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk about news deserts and what that means to our politics. We'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
It's not Dom Salvia today. I'm Jimmy Cuska, Civic Media's sports director. And today they said I could spend 2 hours talking about nothing but sports. So we're going to jump right into it. We're going to talk Brewers trade. We're going to talk... We're not going to do that. We have a lot of fun things planned, though, today. I'm Jimmy Cuska, again, the sports director here at Civic Media. We will talk sports in the program, but not until later. In fact, we'll do that coming up at 5:30. We're going to talk about a proposal that would change high school football qualification in Wisconsin for the playoffs, as well as how those teams would be seeded in the postseason. So that's coming your way in an hour and a half. Coming up in an hour, we're going to talk a little bit more about education. Boy, this is feeling like an episode of Busted Pencils. We are going to talk about a proactive approach to school funding as written by the agency administrator at CESA 3 in southwestern Wisconsin. Dr. Jamie Nutter will join me an hour from now, and he'll talk about his vision, his approach to what we can do with school funding that isn't completely reliant on hoping and wishing that the state legislature will do something with the surplus. So I found it fascinating when I read it, and it'll be, I'm sure, a great conversation as I've had a chance to meet him before. In a half hour, we're going to head up north, and we're going to talk a little bit about the environment, talk about the Enbridge Line 5. Another round of lawsuits have come in over it. This story has been going on, I feel like, for my entire adult life, the oil pipeline in northern Wisconsin. And we're going to talk more about it with our very own Civic Media reporter, James Kelly. So we've got Jesse Norris, Jamie Nutter, James Kelly, myself, Jimmy Cuska. And because it's all about alliteration today on the Dom Salvia Show, Jess P.S. is producing today. Mm-hmm. What up, Jess?
You know, I am so happy that it is Friday.
It is great that it's Friday because, you know, first of all, we're in December mode, right? I think most people are treating December as like one long weekend, right? Is that, that's what we're doing, right?
Well, so, I mean, yeah, that's just how it is.
But the other great part of it is that we are officially in the 12 days of Christmas window. So for those who celebrate that holiday, it is getting very, very close to that. For people who don't celebrate
it.
Yeah, we are there.
Well, I suppose so.
But what's even better about this Friday is that it is also Friday the 13th.
It is Friday the 13th. That makes me happy.
It's a little spooky season, a little bit of Christmas. It's a little bit of everything. Yeah. And even for people who don't celebrate Friday the 13th or Christmas or other holidays, typically this is the time of year when companies are very generous with allowing time off to be with family and friends. So I think that is one of the cool things about this part of the year. Although I personally would prefer having more holidays when it's, you know, 70 degrees as opposed to, what was it this morning? It's 9 degrees right now, so there's not a lot of
balmy, at least compared to yesterday.
Oh, it was miserable. The
was
weather
brutal.
This time of year is so weird, and we have freezing rain, wintry mix stuff on tomorrow, but not to get too deep in the weeds of meteorology. Do have a lot we want to talk about today. I appreciate, as always, the opportunity to be a guest host on these programs. And what's great about this specific show today, Jess, is that I get to do our statewide contest.
Oh,
thing,
yeah.
Right? So we're giving a whole bunch of stuff away. And this hour, we are giving away the Chula Vista Resort overnight stay.
Nice.
With the keyword, right? So mm-hmm. we have the keyword that we do here. So we have the keyword for this hour is white, the color white. So the word is white is the word for today, which is pretty cool. It also gets you in the running if you pick up the prize for the grand prize, which is a selection off of the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. I'm looking at this list and I kind of want all of it.
I know, right?
This is an espresso machine. Like, how great would that be just sitting here right next to me here in the office?
Uh-huh.
That'd be amazing. So mm-hmm. that is the keyword today is white. And we are encouraging people to send this in via the Civic Media app, via whatever station you're listening to the show on. There are a lot of stations that you could be listening to the show on. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, there's a dozen of them.
Yep. So you can find it on the Civic Media app. You can, again, get that keyword in, which is white. And again, pick your station for that. The Civic Media app is free. And if you need a link to the app, civicmedia.us/app will pull up the download for it. So mm-hmm. you can pick it from there and then pick your station, enter that keyword, and be on your way to be entered for an overnight stay at Chula Vista or, of course, being in the running for that grand prize, mm-hmm. Something off of the grown-up gift list.
And so, just as entries are coming in, please make sure that you are spelling everything correctly. This is white, W-H-I-T-E, white, like fresh fallen snow. Make sure you text that in correctly. If you send it in without an H, you will not be entered. If you send in light or night or bite, none of those things will get you entered. So make sure you are submitting white.
The unintended comedy of the misspellings of common words.
Oh, some of them are really great.
It is so great. We were looking at a list yesterday for the word jingle and just how voice to text or autocorrect.
Yeah.
There were like 30. And I'm like, I didn't know you could spell jingle that way. But then I'm like, I put it in on my phone and it actually autocorrected it to something mm-hmm. completely different. So mm-hmm. I get it.
Did you get a real word?
I think so. I can't remember off the top mm-hmm. of my head. I typed it in and it changed it, and then I deleted it right away. I wasn't trying to enter, by the way, because that's illegal.
Yeah.
Employees yeah. can't do it. I can't be in the running for prizes. But I was doing it just to see, like, well, what does my phone do? But it's even worse with voice to text. And it's the same thing when we transcribe interviews,
and we
use programs to help us transcribe. So, like, when I say, like, when I look at the script for this show, if I mm-hmm. say that I'm broadcasting from the city of Boscobel in southwestern Wisconsin, it will invariably translate that to or the text
basketball?
The voice text will make it basketball.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So it's pretty fun. My last name never shows up correctly.
No.
Cusco
no.
is a very hard thing. So for people, it's five letters, but a very difficult pronunciation for
there's
people.
There's no U in there. Yeah.
There really aren't. There's no U. It's all A's and K's and S's. So it's
that is indeed the three letters that make up your last name.
Yeah, there's three letters that just makes weird noises, man. So I don't know. Maybe I've been saying it wrong for 39 plus years, but
maybe.
Yeah, either way.
It's your name. You can just say it however you want.
So I am here filling in for Dom Salvia today. We have a lot of things that we want to talk about today, and then Monday. I'm back Monday with even more fun mm-hmm. on Monday, and even more sports topics, as now I've booked a sports guest for Monday. It's my
fantastic
token sports site. <You're> so enthused.
Well, but you just have few opportunities to talk about sports, Jimmy, and we're really concerned that if you don't get an outlet for that, you're just going to explode.
Yeah, that's true. There's a podcast waiting for me somewhere in this company, but we do have a few things to talk about. As I said, next hour we will talk a little bit of football. Around 5:35, we are going to talk about the high school football proposal put forth by coaches, which would vastly change how teams qualify. Next hour, too, talking a bit about school funding and a proactive, and I think it's not even necessarily a creative, it's just a proactive approach to school mm-hmm. funding. Like, what can we do now to help resolve this issue of having a billion referendums? In fact, today, the Senate co-finance chair, Howard Markline wrote a newsletter trying to explain why there are so many referendums, but didn't really offer any solutions to that either through the legislative process or the Joint Finance Committee. So
it just boggles my mind.
Just intrigued by the proactive approach, and we'll be joined coming up at the top of the hour, 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about that, and then later this hour, I'm going to talk with our reporter James Kelly in Northern Wisconsin about that Enbridge Line 5, the lawsuits that have come through this week on that. A couple of them actually have come through on that. But you know, we're talking about school funding, we're talking about conservation in Wisconsin, and it just brings to mind what's been happening the last couple of weeks. Governor Evers has begun his tour of the state, and actually he's wrapped up the physical part of the tour. The virtual part of it begins next week, and it is dealing with biennial budget listening sessions. And what this is it's an opportunity for people to go and tell the governor, essentially, here's what we should be prioritizing in our next two-year budget. Every 2 years, the budget gets reset. Of course, there was a lot of hemming and hawing over the last budget, mm-hmm. which ultimately still hasn't been resolved because part of it is in court right now. And that is when Evers decided to use his line item veto to cross out a few characters. And instead of funding 2 years for student per pupil increases in education, he made it 402 years. So that's currently being legislated.
That's one of my favorite that's one of my favorite government actions that I think I've ever come across. I remember the day that Tony did that, and my dad just called me up laughing. He's just Governor Evers just used the best possible version of the line veto to increase funding for hundreds of years.
Yeah, and on top of that, the pinned post on his social media for, I want to say, pretty much a year after that was just him sipping on like a glass of tea and talking about that action. So that was entertaining
stuff.
Maybe, but it is currently in the courts, as are many things in Wisconsin government. So the next cycle, obviously, is going to be very contested. There are narrower margins in the legislature after the redistricting. Mm-hmm. Both parties have set their folks for the Joint Finance Committee, which is going to largely dictate where this budget goes. And I think, obviously, education will be the forefront of it again this cycle. I know there was a lot done with education in the last cycle, but if the record number of referenda this year are any indication, it has not been resolved. So they have more work to do there somehow. It is obviously a Democratic priority. Republicans feel like enough has been done, and that's where they start drawing lines in the sand. I know Evers has already called out one non-starter issue, and that is forcing state government employees back into offices from work from home, and said that he won't sign a budget with that in it. So we're starting to see the lines being drawn, and it's, I know there's like a horse race element to political coverage and everything like that, but the biennial budget does a lot of things in Wisconsin. Obviously, it funds all the government programs, but there are all these impacts. It's like dominoes to everything else that happens, and that's why this process is ultimately one of the more fascinating parts of what happens in our state and government, and why I think it's worth talking about here for a little bit more, because not only is there that biennial budget to deal with, you also have to factor in that there is a very large state surplus that has to be dealt with. And a lot of people have a lot of ideas on how to spend that. My idea for that, I'll tell you coming up here after this break. You are listening to the Dom Salvia Show here on Civic Media. I'm Jimmy Cuska, the sports director here at Civic Media. We're going to talk a little bit more about the state budget coming up right after this. Make sure you stick around. But at 5 o'clock, we'll dive into school funding a little bit as well. Back right after this on Civic Media.
And don't forget to submit in the Text to Win statewide contest, White, WHITE.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported recently on the impact of Shelby County versus Holder, the U.S. Supreme Court's decision invalidating Section 5 of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Anticipating even more erosion of the VRA, some states have passed their own state VRAs. It's not only the dismantling of Section 5, the preclearance requirements for states with a history of discrimination. The conservative justices also made proving racial gerrymandering harder under Section 2, and they've made it easier for a state legislature to dilute minority voting power. And in the lower courts, more cases attempting to keep individual voters from bringing voting rights lawsuits under the VRA are pending. With dwindling protections from the federal government, California, Washington, Oregon, Virginia, New York, Connecticut, and Minnesota have enacted state VRAs. Michigan, Maryland, New Jersey, and Florida have efforts underway. The NAACP Legal Defense Fund recommends that state VRAs should have pre-clearance requirements for municipalities which have patterns of discrimination. Rules should include a prohibition against vote denial or dilution through gerrymandering, strong protections against intimidation or deception, language assistance, a statewide database to make evidence-based decisions on election administration, and a directive to the state judiciary to support pro-voter and pro-democracy decisions. We have the recommendations at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Where can you buy goods made around the globe, knowing your purchase is also making a difference? It's Ethical Trade Co. in Madison. Ethical Trade Co. is a nonprofit. Product sales help end modern slavery by creating more opportunities for the artists. Shop online anytime at EthicalTradeCo.com or in person 11 to 5 Tuesday through Saturday at 3565 Tulane Avenue across from Schenck Elementary in Madison. EthicalTradeCo.com. Goods for a better world.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome back here to the Dom Salvia Show on Civic Media. I'm Jimmy Cuska with Jess P.S. in the studio today, talking a little bit about the state budget right now coming up at 4:30. We're going to have our very own James Kelly from here at Civic Media, our Northwestern Wisconsin reporter, to talk about the latest in a long, very, very long series of lawsuits and other action tied to the Enbridge Line 5 pipeline in northern Wisconsin. That's coming your way in about 15 minutes. In about 45 minutes at 5 o'clock, we're going to talk a little bit about school funding, a proactive approach to it, and then a little over an hour from now, talking about high school football playoff qualification changes that could be on the way. Coaches are voting on it right now. So it's an interesting conversation to have on a Friday as we head into the nightlight with Pete Schwabba and then into the weekend. So interesting conversations to be had. By the way, if you were just joining us, we did have a keyword this hour for our text to win contest, the grown up gift list Christmas at civicmedia.us. The keyword is white, W-H-I-T-E. So get that in on your favorite station on the Civic Media app. You can download the app at civicmedia.us/app. If you do win today, you get entered into the grand prize drawing. If you win the espresso machine, you can, if you don't want it, you can always send it to the sports department at Civic Media. And that's right here. Zip code is 53805. So
I just want to jump in here really quick because I am still seeing a couple people texting in words that are not our keyword. So this is really important. When you text in, and you text in the correct keyword, you will get a bounce back text. So you will get a text that comes right back at you that says, thank you for entering the Civic Media Grown Up Gift List. If, however, you are not getting that back, it means that you did not send in the correct keyword. So for the person who just sent me in light, I love it. I love it. I love the light. And it will not get you entered. And I want you to get a chance to win this prize. So make sure you are sending in white, W-H-I-T-E, before the end of this hour.
There we go. I knew we could get some interesting submissions.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are often, these aren't as good as the ones that we had yesterday, but a couple of
these. No, jingle is always going to produce more interesting things than white. I've gotten light, both spelled L-I-G-H-T and L-I-T-E so far.
Nice. Love it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we're talking about the show coming up after this, so maybe I should wait on that until next hour. The word is white, W-H-I-T-E. All right, talking a bit about the state budget, since that is the big topic of mind, kind of in this month, we're kind of gearing up to, you know, the first part of 2025, and we're already starting to see kind of lines of the sand drawn. I was joking a little bit and saying, like, hey, here's my brilliant idea for the budget. Mm-hmm. But I know that education is going to get it's the biggest part of the budget goes to education. So I know that's going to be like where a lot of it is going to be drawn to and tied to. And also in the last budget cycle, some of the things that were budgeted were never released. So there were funds allocated for, you know, hospital relief in the Chippewa Valley where they had two hospitals closed. Mm-hmm. There was funding available for PFAS remediation that was never released. And that also went through lawsuits. So there, sometimes they'll allocate things and then they just never get out, you know, through
and they
all
just
the
law. It does so much good when the money is just, you know, sitting there.
Yeah. Just hanging out in Madison waiting.
There, you know.
Waiting for the right political climate or something to go out. So not everything that goes through the budget actually goes out sometimes, even if mm-hmm. there's an act tied to it or anything like that. And that's what makes this process, I think, frustrating for the average person, especially in an era where things cost a lot more. And you expect, you know, maybe a program maybe benefits your area. Maybe there's something allocated. Like I said, like PFAS remediation is a huge thing in Wisconsin right now, particularly Western Wisconsin. I think of the town of Campbell and how they're still using bottled water mm-hmm. There in that town near La Crosse.
For
to
years.
The point that they're actually considering incorporation so they can just more directly deal with those issues in that area. So I know that is that, you know, some of these things are very big, but there are areas I think deserve a little more investment in Wisconsin that maybe aren't as serious facing the actual serious issues. But I think one thing that we have seen this year and we keep hearing about is the record amount of money that is being brought in through recreation and tourism in Wisconsin. So the last couple of years, counties have been putting out press release after press release. We just had a record-setting year for tourism dollars in Wisconsin. We just had a report this week that outdoor recreation is bringing in billions with a B in terms of financial impact into Wisconsin. So would it make sense to turn around and invest a little bit more into marketing and also perhaps in making, say, state parks a little more accessible
yeah.
or finding ways to liven things up a bit? Because when you go around the state, there are so many attractions and so many things to do. But a lot of the really neat things in Wisconsin are really difficult to get into, especially the natural features, which is to be expected, right? Natural features are natural. You don't necessarily need a concrete pathway to literally everything in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. but it would be nice to see a few of the cooler things have a little bit more way to get to them. Also, I'm a huge fan of when I'm driving through Wisconsin of all the oddities, the oddball things you spot by the side of the road.
Oh, yeah.
Here in southwestern Wisconsin, we have a half dozen of these things. One is at a town just south of me. They have these giant concrete mice that are holding giant blocks of cheese.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
So what
okay,
if we had
okay.
more of those in Wisconsin?
Okay. So here's the proposal then that you had been talking about is every town, every village, every city gets a cheese mouse.
Yes.
When you said that, I truly was not sure if you meant a concrete or stone mouse or if you really meant a statue carved out of real Wisconsin cheese, which is what I advocate for. I say every town, every city gets a cheese mouse that is free for anyone to come and cut a slice off of that'll be replenished as necessary.
Counterpoint. Why not both?
I love the way you think.
I mean, there is, you know, a billion-dollar surplus. Why not? You know,
yeah,
if we're not
going
we to we're not gonna spend it on anything. Let's spend it on mice.
Yeah. Just
go all in on it.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
All right. Remember our keyword for the contest, white, W-H-I-T-E. Get it in on the Civic Media app and pick your favorite station to get that in. You can get entered into our grown-up gift list Christmas here at Civic Media. Coming up next, we're heading north. We're going to talk about the Enbridge Line 5, the oil pipeline in northern Wisconsin, a new batch of lawsuits out this week. James Kelly joins us on the other side. You're listening to the Dom Salvia Show here on Civic Media.
Sacrifice everything.
a new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The case against three Donald Trump allies accused of trying to overturn 2020 election results in Wisconsin will move forward. According to the State Department of Justice, Jim Troupas, Kenneth Cheesebrough, and Michael Roman collected signatures on fake documents that said Donald Trump won Wisconsin in 2020. Prosecutors allege they planned to take that paperwork to Congress to get Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes awarded to Trump, even though Biden won the state by 20,000 votes. At first, the three were facing one felony count each, but more charges were filed earlier this week. Now, all three men each face 11 felony counts of forgery. The Dane County Commissioner presiding over the case.
I do find there is probable cause to proceed on the complaint as it's been amended and filed on December 10th, 2024.
After the hearing yesterday, Troupas held a press conference where he accused the attorney general of playing politics and said his professional life was destroyed. The fake elector scheme is more than just Wisconsin. Trump allies are charged with similar crimes in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, and Nevada. And the defendants settled in a civil case that was filed last year that also included the 10 electors who signed the false paperwork. Troupas, Cheesebrough, and Roman will have their preliminary hearings in court on January 28th. Each one of those 11 felony counts could carry up to 6 years behind bars. And make sure you've got the scraper in the car. We've got a wintry mix headed our way tomorrow afternoon. It might make for sloppy conditions. The weather is also going to complicate our view of the Geminids. It's the brightest and busiest meteor shower of the year. Sometimes you can see more than 100 shooting stars an hour. But we'll have a lot of cloud cover and a full moon, making the meteors tougher to see. Not ideal, but your best shot of seeing some shooting stars is tonight around 9 or 10 o'clock. But don't worry, we've got another chance next weekend with the Ursids. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. In Yellowstone spinoff news, there will be a spinoff of Yellowstone. Deadline reports that Kelly Riley and Cole Hauser will continue their roles as Beth Dutton and Rip Wheeler in the offshoot. It looks like the two characters will survive the purge of Yellowstone cast members as characters have been killed off prolifically in season 5. The series finale airs this coming Sunday night. Hollywood loves to speculate. Wicked and Moana 2 have been raking in big returns when it comes to the box office, and that should continue through this weekend, with Deadline.com reporting that the Moana sequel should be number one again with roughly a $28 million haul, with Wicked in second place at about $20 million. If that holds true, both films will crush Marvel's extended Spider-Verse Kraven the Hunter and Warner Brothers' new Lord of the Rings film, which prognosticators are saying should open at about $15 million and $7 million respectively. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight with temps steady to slowly rising in the teens and 20s tonight. Snow showers for tomorrow, some sleet, freezing rain, and rain possible at times. Highs climb to the mid-30s. The wintry mix ends tomorrow night. Cloudy Sunday, high near 40. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
When you're having computer problems, you need a company you trust to get things working again, quickly and affordably. Madison Computer Works has been doing that for business and residential customers for decades. Our computer care plans take away the hassle of being without your computer or needing to bring it in for repair. Starting at only $10 a month, our local and friendly techs provide remote help and can fix most problems in just minutes. Call 608-231-8000 and sign up today. Madison Computer Works. Computers that work for you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, Nikki Zurjev and I talk about our favorite comedies. Brittany Merlot gives us an overview of the weather this winter. And Terry Barr brings the tunes on a bar band Friday night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show here on Civic Media. I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in for Dom today and Monday. Coming up at 5 o'clock in about a half hour from now, we'll take a dive into school funding, a proactive approach to it. And we'll be doing that with the agency administrator of CISA 3, Dr. Jamie Nutter. Coming up in an hour from now, high school football qualification and playoffs and seeding. How could it be revamped? Well, a couple of coaches have some bright ideas on that in the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association. One of them is Edgewood High School football coach Jesse Norris, who will join me coming up an hour from now. Before we get to our next topic, I want to remind people that if you are entering to win in our grown-up gift list Christmas at Civic Media, the keyword this hour is white, W-H-I-T-E. That gets you in the running for an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort. And it also gets you in the running, if you win that part of it, to be one of the 8 grand prize winners. And again, the espresso machine, you can send it to the sports department here at Civic Media. In dire, dire need of an espresso machine here in the sports department.
But yeah, because you go so slow, Jimmy. So we really need to be speeding you up.
I just need it, man. I just need it. Got to keep it going. All right. Well, let's talk. We're gonna talk now to one of Civic Media's very own, our reporter in the Northwoods in my hometown area of the state, northern Wisconsin, and a topic that I feel like this story has existed since I was in college, you know, 1,000 years ago. But the Enbridge Line 5 pipeline issue in far northern Wisconsin has new news on that this week with a couple of more legal actions taken, and joining me is James Kelly from Northwestern Wisconsin. James,
how's it going, what a man? Fun Friday plan you have here.
they give me the keys to this, and it's like, I'm going to talk sports. I'm going to talk about whatever I want to talk about, and nobody said no. So
yeah, that's a dungeon, apparently.
Well, they've left me unfettered access to the topics, but I thought this one was important today because we had some recent action on an issue that's really been controversial in Wisconsin, right? We've had the DNR involved. We've had legislators involved. Now we've got more lawsuits coming up. What's the latest on what's happening? Maybe give a little back. Let's start with giving a little background on what's happening in northern Wisconsin with Enbridge and its Line 5 pipeline. What is the situation that's happening right now up north?
Yeah, so a little background. This pipeline has existed since the 1950s. It's been there, and until 2013, Enbridge Energy had an easement through the reservation to allow them to run their oil and gas through there. And in 2013, when that easement expired, they decided not to renew it because the tribe was getting a little concerned about the environmental impact and how it could affect, you know, their day-to-day lives. So after that, in 2019, they filed a lawsuit against Enbridge Energy requesting that they move the pipeline out of the reservation, which they won that lawsuit. And they were also awarded over $5 million in trespassing penalties from Enbridge. And now here we are. The Enbridge Energy is attempting to reroute the pipeline, a 41-mile reroute around the Bad River Band Reservation. That pipeline reroute goes above it, upstream too. So part of their lawsuit now is saying, well, this is going to have a pretty significant effect on our waterways in the event of an oil spill. The DNR, in their final impact statement for the environment, said that was a remote possibility, that it wasn't really a major concern, but it only really takes one oil spill to have a pretty big impact on the environment there.
Well, and there's been a lot of stories about that, right, that have come up. I think of, you know, I think we get one or two a year where you see just the environmental impact when it does actually happen. But it is interesting now that this week we've been presented with a couple of fresh lawsuits in response to the DNR, you know, approving the permits for this. And what's interesting is just that, you know, the timing of it happening, you know, at the end of the year, not a whole lot of construction is typically happening in the state this time of year. But these things kind of, I guess, in a legal sense, have moved pretty quickly. So where do we find ourselves now with the lawsuits that have been filed this week?
Yeah, so Earth Justice is the attorney's group that represents the tribe in this matter, and they filed a petition for a contested case hearing in Ashland County, which basically means they want to go over the way that the DNR permits were given out. They're arguing that the DNR simply didn't have enough information on the individual waterways and the individual wetlands in the area, because it would cover nearly 200 waterways and over 100 acres of those wetlands, which are essential to the way that they live their lives. So they're arguing that there wasn't really enough consideration put into it, and the permits don't really hold up to Wisconsin state law for environmental regulations. Whether or not that pans out, we'll see. Again, the DNR did say that it was only a remote possibility that there would be an oil spillage, but this pipeline has seen oil spills before. There was an over 1 million gallon oil spill in Michigan on this pipeline, so it does exist. The other thing is these permits do come with conditions from the DNR. There's over 200 conditions that are a part of the permit that was given out. So DNR officials feel that they've covered their base in giving out this permit, and these are hardly the last permits that Enbridge Energy needs to obtain to start construction on the project. And what I found really interesting today when I was kind of looking into the petition was once they got those permits from the DNR, they have 3 years for construction. So if these legal delays go out past 2027, they might have to get new permits from the DNR to begin construction. And even on top of the environmental concerns about a potential oil spill, just the construction alone, they're going to have to dam some rivers temporarily. There's going to be a lot of upset in the ecological atmosphere of the area. So there are a lot of environmental concerns with even just rerouting this pipeline around the reservation.
Talking to James Kelly, he's our civic media reporter in Northwestern Wisconsin, and covering a lot of things. There's a lot of big news that comes out of that part of the state. I feel like this week, I feel like it's been one big breaking news story after another.
Yeah.
This caught my eye as a statewide story, though, because this is something that's been going on for a long time. And I think it really calls to mind a lot of the conservation issues we've had in Wisconsin this year. We've had a lot of legislation back and forth. We've had a lot of, you know, executive action on how we're distributing funds and releasing funds for stewardship projects. And
lawsuits, too.
Yep. And it just feels like everywhere you look, rather than finding cooperation in figuring out these issues, just finding conflict everywhere. And I keep trying to think, well, what's the middle ground here? What's the compromise to this? And, you know, in terms of the Line 5 project, you know, I don't know what the compromise is there, because the pipeline's got to go somewhere if they want to connect those areas. And that pipeline obviously matters a lot for fuel and oil consumers that are, you know, here in the upper Midwest. So there's a lot of interesting things that go with this. But back to the environmental impact of it in northern Wisconsin, a lot of what this would cross, as there are a lot of them up there, are a lot of wetlands, and those are pretty fragile ecosystems. And in the event of an oil spill, I think that becomes irreparable, right? Like if those wetlands are damaged, it's really hard to remediate that in an area which is just dominated by wetlands.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And you know, there is that other side of it from Enbridge Energy's side where they've estimated that it could cost an extra $20 to $30 million to be transporting this amount of oil and gas by truck. And, you know, people do need that energy. People rely on that energy every day. So is there a simple solution here? Likely no. But right now, the main concern is how it's going to affect the environment up there. Because, again, it's the reroute project goes upstream of the reservation. So any problems that occur up there are going to trickle down to the reservation pretty soon after.
Yeah, and if they go up, you know, and there's not a whole lot of room to go downstream of the reservation, right?
Yep.
Because then you're pretty much on Lake Superior at that point.
Yep.
And the infrastructure there, and I'm sure the land is, and this is, I'm just taking a blind stab at it. I'm assuming that they went further south because it's probably harder, more expensive, and potentially more ecologically damaging to areas like the lakeshore of Lake Superior to try it, north of the reservation. Because remember, in that part, everything kind of flows to the north. When we're talking upstream, downstream, things flow into Lake Superior that far north. So that's the part of it is, you know, what happens next? Well, litigation, lawsuits, all that stuff, that's going to take time to sort out. But what is most interesting, I think, in just reading some of the releases and things like that is, you know, that it seems like the people filing the lawsuit just feel like that the authority was overstepped in some regard in awarding permits, and that maybe not enough attention or care was done studying some of the environmental impacts. That's what I'm gathering from this.
Yeah, their argument is that there wasn't enough information for the DNR. They didn't collect enough information on the individual waterways to kind of make that decision of, is this actually going to have an environmental impact down the line? And, you know, officials can say that the event of an oil spill is highly unlikely, but again, it only takes one to irrevocably decimate that ecological area.
Yeah, and like I said, wetlands, and they're everywhere in Wisconsin. I mean, we have a lot of different areas of Wisconsin with a much different terrain, but wetlands are pretty common everywhere in the state. And just knowing that how fragile those ecosystems can be for, especially, you know, every time the DNR even builds a bridge, they got to put out an impact statement about, you know, endangered turtles or fish or bugs or birds or whatever they're going to disrupt there. And you just think of what a project like this could do. I can see that environmentalists could be concerned about having a project like this happen there. James, you've got an article up on this at civicmedia.us, correct?
Yes. It's on Civic Media. It's on WCFW locally, or WBZH locally up there, up north. So it's everywhere at this point, but it's definitely one of the stories I've been tracking for a long time. Cause you know, even when I first started out here, I remember a lawsuit regarding this project, and here a year and a half later, we're still at it.
Still at it. It's been years that we've been dealing with this, but great to have your insights. And of course, thanks for your continued coverage of all things Northern Wisconsin. It is really, really interesting here. We actually, Jess, sounds like someone wants to talk to us. James,
stick around.
We're going to see you're the reporter on this. We're going to take a call from Susan and McFarland calling into the Dom Salvia show. You can also join us, by the way, if you're hanging out listening at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842 if you want to be a part of it. Susan, what's on your mind?
Hi. What's on my mind is that I think the entire story of Line 5 should really be spoken about very directly. If you have the opportunity to watch the movie about the Red River Tribe, it's an amazing movie. It's a documentary. And the fact is that Enbridge, when they took Line 3 through in Minnesota, they had so many leaks even before they started running oil. And then the oil that's coming from through Line 5 is actually going back to Canada. This has nothing to do with the United States at all. This is just the fact that this is a federal thing about an agreement that Canada had with the United States. That's all. This is like a trade agreement. So this oil isn't even going to be used here in the United States. So I believe that there should be a really well-told story about exactly what's happening, because there's so many wetlands around, as you mentioned, but the point is that the Bad River is changing. It's because of the different floods, and they show pictures of the line, the old line, being brought out of the ground because the water is taking it, you know, eroding it. And anyway, this is really a disaster in the making for all the wetland areas and the wild rice in the area and everything else. So it is not just about the fact, and the DNR, as far as I'm concerned, is not really doing a good thing by allowing them to have their permits, because Enbridge is a very bad company. They haven't done well for anybody.
Susan, thank you for the call and the comments, bringing up a good point about what's happening in Minnesota. I know, James, it's been part of your reporting up there as well.
Yeah, it's a 1977 treaty between the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah, so appreciate the conversation there. James, thank you for joining us to talk about this topic. It's great to have your reporting and your insight on this.
Anytime.
Again, James Kelly, one of Civic Media's own reporters here at Civic Media, covering Northwestern Wisconsin. We have a little bit more time on the other side to talk a little bit more about it. Remember, if you are trying to enter to win this hour for the overnight stay at Chula Vista, the keyword is white, W-H-I-T-E. Get on the Civic Media app. It's free. You can find it at civicmedia.us/app. Pick your station and then enter the keyword white, W-H-I-T-E, to get in on that. More coming up right after this on the Dom Salvia Show on Civic Media.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road. Plus, IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
Comfort Pro Insulators in Little Suamico takes this moment to remember all of our fallen heroes, the brave men and women of the United States Armed Forces, their sacrifice and enduring commitment. To all those who gave their last full measure of devotion for our liberty, our values, and our democracy, we thank you, we remember you, and we honor you. This message comes to you from Comfort Pro Insulators in Little Suamico. That's Comfort Pro Insulators in Little Suamico. They have been serving the community since 1997, and they're saluting those who make our country stronger.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
It's the Dom Salvia Show on Civic Media. I'm Jimmy Cuska. Thank you for joining us wherever you are listening and or watching here today on Civic Media. Coming up in about 15 minutes, going to dive into school funding a little bit and talk about a more proactive approach, a more forward-thinking approach to how to deal with school funding. We'll be joined by CESA 3 Agency Administrator Jamie Nutter. Coming up in about 45 minutes, it will be the head coach at Edgewood High School, Jesse Norris, who is one of the handful of coaches proposing a new way of qualifying for the football playoffs in Wisconsin in high school football. And I think that'll be a subject, if you're a sports fan, you'll enjoy. If you're not a sports fan, there is a whole segment that we have to talk about the math for this. So if you're a big fan of algebra on the radio, we got that coming up for you. Man, I know I'm looking at it and I'm like, there's a lot of math in this, but it's
we'll just math.
Teasing ahead that there'll be some math later in the show. We won't quiz you though, so there's no grade or anything. So we got that coming up in a bit. And of course at 6 o'clock we transition over to Nightlight with Peach Schwabba. He's got a whole bunch of guests tonight. He's got, I think, 3 guests coming up, so a big show on tap coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. Our last reminder and your last chance to get in for this hour, our keyword to get in on the grown-up gift list for Civic Media is white, W-H-I-T-E. The prize this hour is the overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Again, the keyword white, W-H-I-T-E. Get on the Civic Media app, get to your favorite station there, and enter that keyword in to be part of it. If you want to be part of the show, 855-752-4842. We got a few more minutes here. James Kelly from Northwestern Wisconsin actually sticking around just in case we grab another question or two on it, just to kind of put a bow on our discussion on the line five part of it. You know, the lawsuits filed this week, it takes time for these things to go through, right? So, James, you know, from the last action taken on this to now, we're kind of in a wait and see mode now with the DNR permits already being out. And now new lawsuits being put in, right?
Yeah. And then there's the added aspect of they need other permits as well from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to get this done. So how much does this legal action kind of delay that process as well, or does it at all? And, you know, there's always going to be a lot of questions with this, a lot of very complicated technical legal questions for a project like this, and I am sure we have not heard the last of it.
All right. Well, we're keeping up the alliteration theme on the show because all the guests have J names. I have a J name. Jess P.S. has a J name. And our next caller in on our phone lines is Joe from Madison joining us with some questions and comments for us on the Line 5 discussion. We got a few minutes here. Joe, thanks for joining us.
Oh, just wanted to thank you both very much for bringing up this subject. I think that it is just so crucial. Part of what I think happens sometimes in the state is that we're really separated from what might be happening in Milwaukee or over by the Mississippi River or northern Wisconsin. And this is such a critical, interesting, and I'm a worried, sort of dangerous project to be going ahead. And I so appreciate your taking the time to talk about this and you're taking the time to write about this. I would ask a couple questions. There was a previous caller who talked about a documentary about the Bad River in Line 5. Do you know anything about that, what that documentary is called and where one might find information about that? Is that something you're conversant in?
I could find it. They have it. They have a website for it. Badriverfilm.com is where you could find it. I don't know if it's on any of like the streaming services, but it is online.
And I will make sure to link that into the show notes.
So there you go.
Great. That'd be really great. And I just, this is such an important topic, and I really appreciate you taking the time to elaborate on this. Ultimately, isn't the biggest concern the fact that the company may say the chances of a spill are very, very slim, but they have the example of what happened in Michigan where, as I understand, they're still trying to clean that up. Is that right?
In Minnesota, you mean, or Michigan?
Spill in Michigan was Line 5.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
Minnesota,
I'm sorry.
Was Line 3.
We've been talking about the different oil. So yeah. It's probably supplementing your point that there are oil spills that have happened in neighboring states with the various Enbridge lines. So we're not sure which one we're talking about here. Sorry for the confusion there. My brain just kind of turned off for a second.
That documentary, by the way, is just called Bad River, and it's available on some streaming services.
Got you.
Okay, great. But I think that's probably the part of the concern, though, that the company does not have a sterling record of never a spill anywhere, because there is the spill in Michigan, which is still being cleaned up, right? Isn't that part of what the concern is?
I think any concern, you can point to a lot of examples of why there would be concern over it, and specifically in this part of the country where there's a lot of environmental and weather concerns and things like that. I think that those are all very valid points, and I'm sure that's what's being brought up in a lot of the discussion between the lawsuits and the permits. Joe, thanks for your time. We're getting really close to the top of the hour, and we're running out of time in this segment. But before I let you go, James, because I am sports director and I get to do this, and Jess, sorry, going to disrupt the show flow just for like the 30 seconds I have here. But James, instant take on the Brewers-Yankees trade today that sends the Airbender to New York.
I think it's a great trade for both teams. Like we said before, the Milwaukee Brewers really want to have a pretty low-key salary, and they're very good at finding these guys who fit their mold. Nestor Cortes Jr. is going to be great pitching depth for them, and Caleb Durbin was probably the Yankees' second baseman going into opening day, now on the Brewers, but he can play a lot of positions, very athletic, good bat-to-ball skills. Really fits their mold.
Sweet. James, thank you for your time and insight on your reporting on Line 5. Article is up at civicmedia.us or on your local civic media station. James, thanks for your time here.
Anytime.
All right. James Kelly, our Northwestern Wisconsin reporter, joining us there. Coming up in 15 minutes, or sorry, coming up in 5 minutes, we're going to talk about school funding, a proactive approach, how we can get things going in the school funding realm. That comes your way next. An hour from now, Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the way. This is the Dom Salvia Show on Civic Media. Back right after this.
And you have 1.5 minutes left to enter the Text to Win statewide contest with White, W-H-I-T-E.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX, Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we continue our live coverage from the Seattle area, focusing on the Naval Air Station in Bremerton. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, a polio survivor, among those sounding the alarm about efforts to undermine public confidence, he says, in proven cures, responding to reports about an attorney with close ties to RFK Jr. who may be involved in reshaping policy.
His name is Aaron Seary, and he's a close and trusted advisor of HHS Secretary nominee Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's been spotted at Mar-a-Lago and is said to be helping Kennedy choose staffers for the federal health agencies. In 2022, Seary asked the FDA to yank back its longstanding approval of the current polio vaccine, saying it was never properly tested when it was approved 34 years ago. It's one of several vaccines whose approval Seary has challenged.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. The U.S. military flew Travis Timmerman from Syria to Jordan today. The American released after the fall of the Assad regime. He says he was jailed after crossing the border earlier this year. And a major winter storm has dumped several feet of snow in the Great Lakes region again. This is ABC News.